Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and truly blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward through the Word of God. And as always, it is good word. It's one of those, who's your daddy words? You know, in Nehemiah, he does a census. You know, he needs to do a genealogy because there's been so much going on in the 70 years of exile. You know, this one is married, that one who is not of the people of God. Because kind of between him and Amos, they kind of stirred some things up amongst couples and divorce and, you know, annulments of marriages and so much going on. So he is doing an assignment that he has been given, which is genealogy. And it gives a lengthy genealogy. So, and I'm going to give you up front, there are some names that I am having a hard time pronouncing. So please forgive me. Forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. I'm going to try. Because I will not give up on the Word of God. And I'm thanking God for this Word today. And the title of God this morning is Who is Like the Lord? And I give you an answer. Nobody. You know, I remember my children choir sings, Who is Like the Lord? Nobody. Nobody. If our God is for us, who can be against us? Who can separate us from the love of Jesus? There's nobody like him. Body like him. And then they get in a, And I love my baby, one of my babies. You know, she likes to sing, there is none in heaven and earth like you. No one like you, Lord. There is none in heaven and earth like you. And it's like, you know, who is like our God? Nobody. That is something amazing to be able to say. There is nobody like our God. Nobody can compare to our God. No in earth like our God. Nobody in heaven, who in the heavens or earth is like the Lord. Answer. Stay with me, y'all. Nobody. Nobody is like our God. And I'm grateful to be his daughter. I'm grateful to be his child. Father God, I come to you this morning. Thanks, grateful. Lord God. Lift up your words, lift up the name. So there is nobody like God, nobody like you. But you are with us. You know everything about us. You watch us when we sleep. You know we are awake. You know we're going through. You're with us in the middle of the night. Here I tried you get everything, and you know everything. Lord God, I lift up your it's my decrees. Father God, the words of my mouth is medicine of my whole heart. It accepts my faith. But you, Father God, are my strength. And you, Lord God, are my Redeemer. In the precious and holy name of Christ Jesus, I thank you. I praise you. I give you honor and glory. For this is your day, Lord God. And I thank you for a new hope. In Jesus' name, let then I pray. Amen. Thank you, God, for the do-over this morning. That woke me up. Hallelujah. Clothed in my right mind. And I thank him because somebody did not wake up today. And we need to learn to be grateful for what we have. Grateful for who we are. Grateful that God gave us another day. Grateful that he gave us another minute, hour, second. Grateful that he has protected us from things hurt that would harm or hurt us. We are blessed beyond measure to be sons and daughters of the Most High God, who is the source of our strength and the strength of our life. Hallelujah. I'm thankful this morning to be in the presence of the Lord. I am thankful this morning to have a new day, to be better today than I was on yesterday. You know, just a thing that God put in my heart is that we got to start speaking life over our children. Even though some of our children can be something else, we want to call them sometimes little hot messes. But who are we to judge them when we can also be hot messes? We can be just as hateful. We can be just as backbiting as our children. And we got to quit speaking the negatives over their life. We got to start speaking positives. I had to do some repenting because I spoke a negative over a child who I loved dearly. But the thing is, I shouldn't have said what I said. But I was upset because I didn't like what was going on. But still, I should have spoken positive. And so I had to ask God to forgive me because he reminded me in the word that death and life is in the tongue. And if we want our children to be positive, if we want our children to be better than we are, we got to start speaking positives into their life. Anointed, awesome young woman of God. Awesome and anointed and covered by the blood of Jesus. Man of God, doing great things in the kingdom, doing great things in their life. We got to speak over our children that they will graduate from high school, that they will get educated in either technical college or college, that they will have degrees, that they will have certifications, that they will do great things. Not only for themselves and their families, but for the kingdom. You know, when I was growing up, we were encouraged. You know, I graduated from high school. Could have graduated early, but I stayed and took one class my last semester. And it was a tutoring class. It was a psychology class where I got to go and tutor at the Easter Seals Center, which was the most wonderful experience I ever had in my life, working for Easter Seal and working with children with disabilities. You know, I think it opened up my eyes for what I would do in children's ministry. You know, all children are God's children. And I love that job. I love going every morning. You know, I went to class for about an hour, and then I went and worked for the Easter Seal, and then I also started vocational college. Started working on my associate's in business while I was still in high school.
And I will say this, that technical college degree, I fell on every job I ever had. My major was business, office and business technology. So I worked, you know, typing, shorting, and all of those things. It was all about business. And when I graduated from college, got a job as a temporary with the federal government and university, and fell back on that typing and shorthand and working in the office. Had my degree, but that business degree is what I fell back on. That technical college degree is what I fell back on every time, because it was a skill to be able to type, to be able to do shorthand, to be able to work in office, a phone, and multitask, business school. So I say, don't try to force your children into college when your child may have a bent toward a different field. Because understand, we're going to need auto mechanics. If your child likes to mess around with cars, don't try to force them into going to college when maybe they need to go and become an auto mechanic in technical and vocational school. Don't try to force your daughter into doing whatever, or your son into doing whatever, when they may like medicine and may like taking care of people and want to be a CNA, maybe a nurse or a doctor. Because sometimes people start out as CNAs and wind up being doctors because they like it so much that they want to continue their education. But you let them start in high school. In my hometown, a little over a week ago, and my high school, I took two of my little girls that, you know, are part of my ministry that I do. They're like my nieces. They are nieces. Larry, my great nieces. And I took them to my hometown. And when they saw my high school, they're like, it is huge. It looks like it's so big. And they have added a technical college. It's huge. You know, the stadium is huge. They had never seen anything like it. Because where we live, there is nothing like it. And I was so impressed with my hometown and all the things that they had done to improve it. My community that I grew up in is completely gone. I mean, when I say completely gone, it's completely gone. There's nothing left. Not a house, not a business. There's nothing left. It is all gone. And that kind of hurt when you no longer live there. You know, the businesses that were by your house that are no longer there. Your whole entire block is gone. And now where you grew up is all completely law enforcement, public safety complex. From the attorneys and the probate and all of those things, probation, everything is your community. The blocks that you grew up in are no longer there. But then when you stop and you think and you say, Lord, I thank you for the community I grew up in. I thank you that our area where they thought was great enough to become a complex. Public safety. I'm grateful for my village that raised me. And I pray to God I can be a village to someone else's child and pay it forward. So we got to encourage our children. Not talk them down, but talk them up. And that was the crux of what God put in my heart to say is, that when you speak negative over someone's situation, repent and start speaking positive, not even over situations, but over everything. Speak positive over your finances, over your family members, over your churches. Speak positive. Speak life. And quit speaking death. Because the power is in this little membrane behind our teeth. And, you know, as my mother and godmother and all those that raised me used to say, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. And I think we need to go back to that philosophy, because if we do, just imagine what our world would be like. If you can't say nothing nice, don't say anything at all. My God, there would be no more 24-hour news channels. No more. Would not be one. Because all you hear is negativity singing everybody. But let us try to get back to being people who love each other and care about each other. For our God is good and he's great, and there is nobody like him in the heavens or on the earth. There's nobody like God. And like our Lord, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. And as we get into our word this morning, Nehemiah chapter 6, and it says, now it happened with Sanballat, Tobiah, Gershom, and the Arab, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall and that there were no breaks left in it, though at the time I had not hung the doors and the gates. Then Sanballat, Gershom, sent to me, saying, come, let us meet together amongst the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me harm. So I sent messages to them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? But they sent me this message 4 times, and I answered them in the same manner. Then Sanballat sent his servant to me as before, the 5th time, with an open letter in his hand. It was written, it is reported among the nations, and Gershom says, that you and the Jews plan to rebel. Therefore, according to these rumors, you are rebuilding the wall that you may be their king. And you have also appointed prophets to claim concerning you at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah. Now, these matters will be reported to the king. So come, therefore, and let us consult together. Then I sent to him, saying, no such thing as you say are being done. You invent them in your own heart. For they all were trying to make us afraid, saying, their hands will be weakened in the work, and it will not be done. Now, therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Afterwards, I came to the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabel, who was a secret informer. And he said, let us meet together in the house of God, within the temple, and let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you. Indeed, at night, they will come to kill you. And I said, should such a man as I flee, and who is there such as I, who will go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. Then I perceived that God had not sent him at all, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me, because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. For this reason he was hired, that I should be afraid and act that way and sin, so that they may have cause for an evil report, that they might reproach me. My God, remember Tobiah and Sanballat according to these, their works, and the prophets, Nadoa, and the rest of the prophets who would have made me afraid. So the wall was finished on the 25th day of Elul. 52 days. Can I say that? 52 days. And it happened when all our enemies heard of it and all the nations around us saw these things. They were very disheartened in their own eyes, where they perceived that this work was done by our God. Yes, it was. Also, in those days, the nobles of Judah sent many letters to Tobiah, and the letters to Tobiah came to them. But many in Judah were pledged to him, because he was the son-in-law of Shechaniah, the son of Aram, and his son Johanan had married the daughter of Meshullam, the son of Micaiah. Also, they reported his good deeds before me and reported my words to him. Tobiah sent letters to frighten me. You can't frighten a man of God because they know who their daddy is. And they know that their God's got them covered. Nehemiah was not afraid. He knew who God was, and God gave him visions to understand who was for him and who was against him. And God will give us visions to know who is for us and who is against us. And as we go into chapter 7, it says this. Then it was when the wall was built and I had hung the doors, when the gatekeepers, the singers, and the Levites had been appointed, that I gave the charge of Jerusalem to my brother Hananiah, the leader of the cathedral, for he was a faithful man and feared God more than many. And I said to them, do not let the gates of Jerusalem be open until the sun is hot. And while they stand guard, let them shut and bar the doors and appoint guards from among the inhabitants of Jerusalem, one at his watch station and another in front of his own house. Now the city was large and spacious, but the people in it were few, and the houses were not rebuilt. Then my God put it into my heart to gather the nobles, the rulers, and the people, that they might be registered by genealogy. And I found a register of the genealogy of those who had come up in the first return, and found written in it, these are the people of the province who came back from the captivity of those who have been carried away, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away, and who returned to Jerusalem and Judah, everyone to his city. Those who came with Zerubbabel were Jeshua, Nehemiah, Azariah, Ramah, Nehemiah, Mordecai, Beshan, Mizpah, Bigva, Nehum, and Bana. The number of the men of the people of Israel, the sons of Perosh, 2,172. The sons of Shephatiah, 372. The sons of Era, 652. The sons of Pethath Moab, of the sons of Jeshua and Joab, 218. Of the sons of Elam, 1,254. The sons of Zatu, 845. The sons of Zakai, 760. The sons of Benanu, 648. The sons of Bebai, 628. The sons of Azgad, 2,322. The sons of Adonikam, 667. The sons of Bigva, 2,067. The sons of Aden, 655. The sons of Atar Hezekiah, 98. The sons of Hashem, 328. The sons of Ziah, 324. The sons of Harapai, 112. The sons of Gibeon, 95. The men of Ananias, 128. The men of Ben-Azbaz, 42. The men of Jerusalem, Shephirah, and Jeroth, 743. The men of Ramah and Geba, 621. The men of Michmas, 122. The men of Bethel and Ai, 123. the men of the other Ebal, 52. The sons of the other Elam, 1,254. The sons of Haram, 320. The sons of Jericho, 345. The sons of Lod, Aden, and Ono, 721. The sons of Shaniah, 3,930. The priests, the sons of Jedidiah of the house of Jeshu, 973. The sons of Immer, 1,052. The sons of Pishpashar, 1,247. The sons of Haran, 1,017. The Levites, the sons of Jeshua of Kenemah, and the sons of Hedavah, 74. The singers, the sons of Asaph, 148. The gatekeepers, the sons of Shalom, the sons of Etar, the sons of Talmon, the sons of Kikub, the sons of Etai, the sons of Shobai, 138. The Nethinim, the sons of Zehai, the sons of Hashpha, the sons of Tabazot, the sons of Kiros, the sons of Say, the sons of Hadon, the sons of Labana, the sons of Hegaba, the sons of Shammai, the sons of Hinnai, the sons of Gidel, the sons of Gehar, the sons of Rehad, the sons of Razin, the sons of Kedor, Netkoda, the sons of Gazam, the sons of Uza, the sons of Peshai, the sons of Besai, the sons of Minyanim, the sons of Nephusayim, the sons of Bekbuk, the sons of Hekaphi, the sons of Harher, the sons of Bizlet, the sons of Mahida, the sons of Harshai, the sons of Barkos, the sons of Sisera, the sons of Tamar, the sons of Neziah, the sons of Atapha, the sons of Solomon's servants, the sons of Sotai, the sons of Sapphirath, the sons of Peridai, the sons of Jael, the sons of Dakar, the sons of Gadel, the sons of Shephatiah, the sons of Hittel, the sons of Pekarath of Zebium, the sons of Ammon, the sons of Nethinim, the sons of Solomon's servants were 392. And these were the ones who came up from Tel Mela, Tel Harshai, Sherub, Aden, and Immer, but they could not identify their father's houses, nor their lineage, whether they were of Israel. The sons of Dilah, the sons of Tobiah, the sons of Nakoda, 642. And the priests, the sons of Habath, the sons of Kaz, the sons of Barzillai, who took a wife of the daughters of Barzillai, the Gileadite, and was called by their name. These saw their listing among those who were registered by genealogy, but it was not found. Therefore, they were excluded from the priesthood as defiled. And the governor said to them that they could not eat of the most holy things till a priest could consult with the Urim and Thummim. Altogether, the whole assembly was 42,360, besides their male and female servants, on whom there were 7,337. And they had 245 men and women singers. Their horses were 736, their mules 245, their camels 445, and donkeys 6,720. Some of the heads of the father's houses gave to the work. The governor gave to the treasury 1,000 gold dekrimas, 50 bases, and 530 priestly garments. Some of the heads of the father's houses gave to the treasury of the work 20,000 gold dekrimas and 2,200 silver minas. And that which the rest of the people gave us was 20,000 gold, 1,000 silver minas, and 67 priestly garments. So the priests, the Levites, the gatekeepers, the singers, some of the people, and the Nemanim, and all Israel dwelt in their cities. When the seventh month came, the children of Israel were in their cities. So in other words, Nehemiah came and did his assignment. He was anointed and appointed for a time to get the walls of Jerusalem rebuilt. And in 52 days, he did the work he was called to do. So let's get some life lessons out of chapter 6 and chapter 7. And again, for those that are just joining this moving forward experience, we are coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And our life lesson for Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 2, they thought to do me harm. What the devil cannot accomplish by scorn and intimidation, he will try to accomplish by deception and hateful schemes. Only by immersing ourselves in the Word of God and through prayer will we avoid his traps. Prayer changes things, family. Prayer changes everything. Nehemiah 6 and 13, for this reason he was hired that I should be afraid. We hurt our own cause when we give in to fear and intimidation and act as though the Lord God Almighty does not reign on high. Prudence never means cowardice. Understand, you may be going through, but know that God has got you covered. The enemy wants us to walk in fear. But when we know God is with us, you better act like it. And don't walk in fear. Do what you want to do every day and tell them to go where they came from, back to the pits of hell. For whence they trouble and all they mess came from, sending right on back and ignore, keep it moving. Because the enemy likes to mess with your mind, mess with your body, mess with your spirit, mess with your surroundings. And we got to let the enemy know, I know who I am. And I know who my daddy is. And you need to keep it moving, you and your minions. Because I don't have time for your mess today. You know, Jesus told him, get behind me, Satan. When he tried to use the scriptures against him. We got to understand that the enemy does know the scripture. He knows the word of God. But we got to learn how to say, not today. As Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. You know, Jesus can say that, but I say get in front of me so I can kick you right in the eye and keep it moving. Get out of my way. Because I got work to do for the Lord. Try to make you tired. Try to make you sleepy. Try to get you off square so that you're not doing what you got to do for God. The devil is a liar, and we need to call him out for what he is, a liar and a cheat. And there ain't no truth in him. Number Nehemiah 7 and 5, God put it into my heart to gather the nobles, the rulers, and the people that they may be registered by genealogy. How does God put things into our hearts? He may use our own observation and experience, the counsel of others, or perhaps work more directly. However, he does it. We walk in the spirit when we obey his initial prompting. Whatever God says do, just do it. You got to have that Nike swish. Just do it. And the word of the morning is coming out of Psalms, chapter 89, verses 5 through 10, our title. Comes from this psalm. You know, God woke me up this morning when I was working on the word, and he said who he was. And just reminded me that there is nobody like God. Who in the heavens or earth is like the Lord? And I give you the answer, nobody. Nobody in the heavens or the earth is like the Lord. There's only one Father, one Son, and one Holy Spirit. and they are the Lord, and there is no one like the Lord. No one. Nobody like our Lord God. Nobody like our Lord Jesus. Nobody like the Holy, for they are one. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, or Holy Ghost. But there is none like the Lord in the heavens. And the heavens are immense on this earth. We got to quit putting people in the place of God, in the place of the Lord. For there is only one Lord, only one Lord God. And we know there's only one Lord Jesus. And the Holy Spirit, our hearts. So that when Nehemiah said his heart told him to do his genealogy, God will put a thing in your heart. You will dream about it. You will feel it in your spirit that this is something you got to do. And I tell you this, there's nothing more powerful than dreams. God will put it in your spirit, in your dreams. And all of a sudden, it will not leave you. You will feel like there's something I got to do. I just got to do this. And that's when you know it's from God. And this is the word that God gave us from Psalms 89, verses 5 through 10. And the heavens will praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness also in the assembly of the saints. For who in the heavens can be compared to the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened to the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be held in reverence by all those around him. O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty like you, O Lord? Your faithfulness also surrounds you. You rule the raging of the sea. Its waves rise. You still them. You have broken Rahab in pieces as one who is slain. You have scattered your enemies with your mighty arm. And the life lesson from Dr. Stanley is Psalms 89:6. Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened to the Lord? It says, though other people will fail us, either for intentional or unintentional reasons, God never will. We know this, but then why do we still rely on others so much more than God? That's a question we got to ask ourselves. Perhaps the answer has something to do with the fact that we can see, hear, and touch other people, and God is not tangible with our physical senses. Still, God is real, and he will always be a much better help to us than any person could hope to be. And even my pastor said in her sermon Sunday, we need to learn how to take it to the throne before we leave home. And we all know, we've heard, take it to the throne instead of the phone. In other words, give it to God. Nobody can help us but God in all situations. We got to give it to God. Quit stressing. And I'm not just talking to you. I'm talking to me. Quit stressing. As I stress, I will stress in a minute. And then I'm like, okay, stop yourself. You are too blessed to be stressed. Stop it. I have to talk to myself like I'm talking to a girlfriend. Stop it. You are too blessed to be stressed. Stop it. Stop it. And stop it again. Because you covered. And you know this. So why are you stressing? Why are you acting special? Cut it out. You know, you have to talk to yourself. Just like you're talking to another person. Because sometimes self can get all crazy acting. And act all cray cray. We got to just speak to self. You know, memo to self. Stop acting cray cray. You are too blessed to be stressed. We got to speak it to ourselves because sometimes we forget to tell ourselves, excuse me, aren't you supposed to be a Christian? Aren't you supposed to trust God? Then why are you acting special? Cut it out. I have to talk to myself. I don't know about you. I can only talk about myself. But I know I have to talk to me. It can be something else sometimes. But I thank God that I know who my daddy is. Hallelujah. And I know when I have a problem where to go, I take it to the throne. I take it to my daddy. I take it to my Savior. I take it through the Holy Spirit to speak to God. You know what? He gives you peace. He gives you peace that all is well. And Proverbs 21 and 28 talks about a liar. And it says this, a false witness shall perish, but the man who hears him will speak endlessly. You got to be careful. You know, so many times liars and cheats and con men and con women have come about and got folks all messed. If you are not doing right and you are listening to someone that's telling you to do wrong, you know that's not a person of God. If every time you're around them, they got you doing something that you know is out of your character, you know it's not of God, then that is not someone you need to be hanging out with. If every time you're with them, and now they know you have an alcohol problem, they want to go to the liquor store, or they want to go get a beer, or they want to have a fish fry, and then all you got the coolers and you got the beer, when they know you have a problem with alcohol. Oh, girl, one drink ain't gonna hurt you. It's just a wine cooler. You know, or they know you have problems with narcotics. Well, you know, marijuana, girl, it's legal. I use it for medicinal purposes. Now, they know you have a problem, but they're going to pull out a joint in front of you. They know you have a problem with thievery. And then they're going to bring out a dress that was stolen. I'm like, you can buy it from me. Now, you know good and well that dress, that it was boosted. And that they was part of a boosting, that they are part of a boosting ring because you used to be right there with them. You know, I'm not getting nothing from you. I don't need anything. And that is someone you don't go around. If there's someone that will put a stumbling block in front of you, don't go near them. If they are liars and you know they lie all the time, don't listen to what they got to tell you about he said, she said, woo-woo said. Ignore them. Keep it moving. Say, I'm praying for you and keep on stepping. Because you know good and well they don't have your best interest at heart. So let's get into our word. We're going into Acts chapter 27. And it says, and when it was decided that we should sail to Italy, they delivered Paul and some other prisoners to one named Julius, a centurion of the Augustan ship of Adramaton. We put to sea, meaning to sail along the coast of Asia. Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Theolosica with us, and the next day we landed in Sidon. And Julius treated Paul kindly and gave him liberty to go to his friends and receive care. When we had put to sea from there, we sailed under the shelter of Cyprus because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea, which is off of Cilicia, Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. There, the centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing to Italy, and he put us on board. When we had sailed slowly many days and arrived with difficulty off Cnidus, The wind was permitting us to proceed. We sailed under the shelter of Crete off of Salmon, passing it with difficulty. And we came to a place called Fair Haven near the city of Lacy. And when much time had been spent, the sailing was now dangerous because the east was already over. The fast was already over. Paul advised them, saying, "Men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and ship, but also our lives." Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than by the things spoken by Paul. And because the harbor was not suitable to winter in, the majority advised to set sail from there also, if by any means they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete, opening toward the southwest and near west, and winter there. When the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their desire, putting out to sea, they sailed close to Crete. But not long after, a tempestuous head wind came, or wind arose, called Ecraclidon. So when the ship was caught and could not head into the wind, we let her drive, and running under the shelter of an island called Claudia, we secured the skiff with difficulty. When they had taken it on board, they used cables to undergird the ship, in fear lest they should run aground on the citrus sands. They struck sail, and so were driven. And because we were exceedingly tempest-tossed, the next day they lightened the ship. On the third day, we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. Now, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. But after long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, "Men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that I will be just as it was told me. However, we must run aground on a certain island.'" An angel came to Paul. And I believe in my heart, God sends angels when we need them. They may be angels unaware, but angels nonetheless. Acts 27:20, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. Hardships and trials can last for so long that we begin to despair that God will ever rescue us from our difficulties. Yet God remains faithful, and difficult circumstances never indicate that he has lost interest in us. Thank you, Dr. Stanley, for that word. Acts chapter 27:25. I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. When times get hard, those who do not have a relationship with God can take courage from those who do. If believers maintain and display their trust in the Lord, Paul's faith encouraged many unbelievers. Our faith encourages others to trust in the Lord. When we're going through, we got to trust God. We got to speak the truth to others. Trust God. He will make a way out of no way. Just trust God. And our last word from Dr. Stanley is this: a surprise and welcome visit. Acts 27:13-26. Do you like surprise visits? For most of us, it depends upon who appears at the door. When God makes a surprise visit, he brings a message and purpose we could never anticipate. This is one of the important ways of God that every believer should understand. In Acts 27:13-36, we see God make a surprise visit to Paul during his final disastrous maelstrom toss voyage to Rome. Acts 27:20 tells us, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be safe was finally given up. Without tackle or food, the 276 passengers knew there was no way that they could survive the terrible storm. In the moment most bereft of hope, God sent word to Paul through an angel. Paul, in return, announced God's message to his shipmates. He said, "There stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you.'" There are some important things that we can learn about God's surprise visits through this of Paul's life. And if you want to grab a pen or pencil to write these down. And again, I thank Dr. Stanley for this mighty word of God. And I know that it came from God. And it says, when God visits, he comes in his own timing. So number one is when God visits, he comes in his own timing. So we may wonder why God chose to wait so long to address the passengers on that ship. We know one thing for sure. The hope God offered was very welcome to them. God works on the basis of his perfect knowledge and purposes rather than on our understanding or impatience. Number two. When God visits, we feel an awesome sense of his presence. It is always when we're most helpless that we best appreciate God's strength and provision. We can almost imagine the amazing emotion that swept through those people, knowing that Holy God was coming to their aid. Number three, when God visits, he has a specific purpose for us. God's specific message to Paul was that he would indeed fulfill his purpose in Paul's life. God had previously commanded, "As you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness at Rome." Romans Acts chapter 23, verse 11. Then God confirmed, "Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar," Acts 27:24. God encouraged Paul by letting him know he was still on the right track, even if his circumstances seemed to suggest otherwise. And our last, number four, the greater your task or his purpose, the more likely his visit will be. Understand that Paul was on his way to his final place of ministry, Rome. This was a critical time in his life, and he needed God's encouragement to remain strong and courageous for his final assignment. God still makes surprise visits today because he has a wonderful and significant purpose for every one of us. He is interested in the details of our life, whether we're peacefully sailing or tempest-tossed. He wants to give us confidence and involve us in his plan. He also wants others to be encouraged and saved through us. So welcome him and embrace him. Prize visit will always be right on time. And I believe in God for surprise visits in my life. We got to believe and trust in the Lord in everything and know that there is nobody, there is nothing in heaven or earth like our Lord. Trust God today, family, and know that he is with you always. And before we get out of here, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. soon as I can get this up. I just want to say thank you, God, this morning for His grace and for His mercy, for His goodness and His kindness. And I love this word from our sister in Christ, and this is it. Good morning. Once you stop adding up all your problems, you'll be able to start counting all of your blessings. Have a terrific Tuesday. And again, I never talk to Sister Carolyn or look at her word until after I start the blog. But this morning, I was just talking about blessings. And how we so many times get caught up in our problems that we forget to thank God for our blessings. You know, too stressed that we forget to be blessed. So we got to understand that we are blessed, too blessed to be stressed. Put your stress aside and know that you are blessed. You are blessed beyond measure. And again, as Sister Carolyn says, once you stop adding up all your problems, you'll be able to start counting all of your blessings. Have a terrific Tuesday, family. And as always, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other in the precious and the holy name of Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. For we know there is no one in the heavens or the earth like the Lord. Thanking God this morning for this magnificent word. And for His grace and His mercy toward each and every one of us, I say to you this morning, have a blessed and wonderful day as the Lord watches between us, as He wataches over you and blesses your family. I thank Him for this day. I rejoice in it. I'm glad in it. For God has reminded me that I am blessed and that I am His and He is mine. And again, there's nothing like our God in the heavens or the earth, but He is the Lord. Have a blessed day, family. And the reason my voice is going the way it's going is I have a fan on. And I forgot to turn it off when I started this morning. So the air is coming in, and it's just filling me up. So thank you again for watching, for listening, and for trusting God. Again, watch as well as pray, and know that our Lord God is with you wherever you go. And remember, as you go through this day, who in the heavens or earth is like the Lord? And your answer will always be nobody. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap. And why is it a wrap? Because it's time to go to work. Love you all. Be blessed. Have a great day.